Well, good morning and welcome back to Good Morning Live. I have missed you all during our Good Morning Live get-togethers, if you call them. Welcome everybody on all the platforms that you can watch us on. Welcome again to all of our TikTok family who's watching off to the side here a little bit. We don't typically stream out from the actually editing programs and all that stuff to TikTok. So we just go live from a phone on TikTok. But anyway, it has been so good to be with everybody. So I haven't, we haven't gotten to come together, if you will, on this format yet. This week we were traveling back from Dominion Camp Meeting in Columbus, Ohio, at World Harvest Church, Pastor Rod Parsley Church. And man, we had an amazing time. God was moving. It was phenomenal. So I know you can find all those services online if you want to go back and watch what part of it was so good. But I got so many text messages of people saying, hey, praying for you. Hope your drive is okay. So much more than normal. And that's most likely because the Sunday I preached before we left, I had mentioned how driving the 6.5 hours with the four kids in the car and the screaming could be incredibly intense at times, and all of that happens with that. And man, it didn't disappoint. I'm not saying your prayers didn't work. I'm just saying going there was pretty good. But then Bob got sick on the way back, so he was had a fever on the way back and was throwing up, and then it was one of those ones where you keep looking at the clock and you think, okay, maybe half hour's passed, you know, in the drive. And then you realize, no, it's been about 10 minutes. And you just keep plugging away. But we got here. Bob's feeling so much better, and we're glad about that. So, but anyway, thanks for the grace over the last 2 days as we've traveled back and then got situated. I have been eager to get back on and to continue to do these lives with you. So what has your week been like? If you are watching on a platform that you comment, like, share, do all of that. And let me know how your week's been and what's happened in your world. And I'm excited to jump into the Word of God together. So this week, well, the 3 days remaining in this week, I'm going to jump into a small collection of devotions. I came across a book by Levi Lusco called Blessed Are the Spiraling. And I absolutely love the book and love his teachings from it. It's a powerful book. So what I decided to do is this week kind of just bring together three teachings from that book. But I want to put that book in your hands if you want it. So we have an offer on the screen that if you want to order a copy of the book that I'm teaching from this week, it's called Blessed Are the Spiraling by Levi Lusco. Just simply text the word blessed to 717-500-3575, and we can get that book out to you. Yes, and you're going to $25 for the book. Yes, you can find it cheaper on Amazon, but the difference goes to support the ministry here at Pioneer Television Network. I'd just like to be upfront about that. If you are on a budget, can find the, we're all on a budget, but if things are tight right now, you can find the book on Amazon cheaper, but the difference in what we charge it for to our partners as a gift is that contribution then goes to help support the ministry. So I just always like to be upfront about that. But so we're going to dive into the Word today. Through this, again, I encourage you to get the book. It's a powerful book. But today, I want to encourage your faith and inspire you and help you maybe look at your situation a little bit different. Today, I want to talk about finding blessing in the dirt. Finding the blessing in the dirt. I want to read from Matthew 13, verse 44, and here's what it says. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has to buy that field. Finding blessing in the dirt. What I want to encourage you in today is knowing that your trial, my friend, contains treasure. Every trial, I believe, contains treasure. That's an old saying. Every cloud has its silver lining, right? Every trial, I believe, contains treasure. And maybe today you're looking at dust or confusion, or maybe your life is in total chaos right now, or you've been struggling or battling in depression or anxiety. But what if I told you, in that very thing that you're trying to escape, right? Because we all want to be out of the trial. We all want deliverance from our circumstance, deliverance from where we're struggling, deliverance from those hard seasons and those hard things. But what if the very thing that we were trying to escape, God has buried his blessing in? What if there's joy or promise or gold, if you will, hidden in the dirt? So today, I'm not talking about trying to escape your spiraling season. I'm wanting to talk to you about how to learn to mine that spiraling and mine the ground for the season that you're in, because there's a blessing in the dirt. I went yesterday to visit a couple who were from our church, and they were, you know, approaching an older season of their life. They're well into their 80s and had been living alone, and they needed to transition, and they ended up going into a assisted care facility. And I went yesterday to visit them, and they're just communicating that, you know, they don't like it here because the staff is telling them what to do. And the gentleman was like, you know, I've been alive longer than you've been alive. You don't need to tell me how to do it. And they're just trying to give him instructions on, you know, how to go to the dining hall or whatever. But, you know, and the point of it is he had said, you know, I hate it here. I hate it here. And I said, you know, some things we can't do much about, right? Like, you need to be here. They're here to help you, to assist you. But what if God has you here for a purpose? For a reason? What if there's treasure buried in the dirt here? What if you're here to be a light and to witness and to evangelize? What if there's divine connections or relationships that are to be birthed and developed right here where you are? And, you know, he sat back and said, you know, I don't know that I thought about it that way, Pastor. I don't like it here, but I'll consider it. I'll consider it. And, you know, and I left there, you know, feeling a heart of compassion, because I could, you know, could only imagine that struggle of being independent for 80 years. And now you're being told where to go and when to go and all of that. I can only imagine the struggle that that is. But sometimes you just have to change your perspective and say, this is where I am. If this is what's happening around me, then I better start digging, because there's gold hidden. There's treasure hidden in the dirt somewhere. So my question for you is, what's been lost in your life? Is it peace? Is it joy? Is it calling or focus? I want to tell you today, it can be found again. It's not gone. It's just buried in the dirt. Let me read this verse of scripture to you again. I want you to really absorb this. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that. The treasure in this man's story is not obvious, right? It says the treasure is hidden in the field, right? It's secluded, it's buried, it's not visible, right? The treasure is not obvious, it's buried. And he didn't just stumble on the treasure, because you can't stumble on something that's buried. You can't walk through a field and say, you know what? I think there's treasure buried under my feet. No, no, no. He didn't just stumble on the treasure. He stumbled on the dirt that contained the treasure. Man, that'll preach right there if you get that. We often don't stumble on treasure in life. We often stumble on dirt in life that happens to contain treasure. Oh man, if we get that today. We often don't stumble upon treasure. We stumble upon dirt that contains treasure. I didn't mean to prophesy to your situation right now, but maybe you're in a season of life and you're looking around and you're saying, Lord, I'm in a field. I'm stumbling upon dirt. I don't understand how I got here. I don't understand what this means. I don't understand the significance. How did this happen to me? How did I arrive here? How did this become my lot in life? But I'm here to testify to you that if you are standing on dirt, if you have arrived in a season that looks dirty, that it just seems like chaos or destruction, or you're really struggling through a season, I'm here to tell you that in that dirt is buried treasure. Treasure that's not obvious. You don't stumble upon treasure. You stumble upon dirt that contains treasure. Sometimes God disguises treasure in our trials. Sometimes the field is painful. Sometimes the field is hard or annoying or repetitive or even embarrassing. Sometimes what we want most is to get out of this field. But here's what I believe the scripture is saying to us. If you stay long enough, you keep digging long enough, you're going to find what's been hidden in the field. God will move you from dirt to delight. Think of this man. Before he knew what was in the field, he must have hated that field. But after he discovered what was hidden, the Bible says the man sold everything with joy to purchase the very field that he used to loathe. What in your life have you been trying to run from that might be the place that God wants to? We all have those. And actually, if you probably look back over your life, don't just take your eyes off of where you are right now and look back for a minute over your life, you will most likely find that some of those past fields that you found yourself in, the hard nights, the struggles, the fear, the anxiety, the torment that you walk through, leaving that relationship, staying in the job when you wanted to quit, whatever that field, those past fields, often when you look back at those seasons, oftentimes the pain or the torment or the embarrassment of the field fades. And what you think back when you look back is, I can remember what God taught me. Oh, yeah, that was a challenging season, but oh, it grew me closer to God. Or oh, what I discovered about who I am in Christ, or I discovered what I could get through, or what I could walk through. Man, now I look back on that season, and I don't just see it as a hard, loathing field that, you know, is just set up to come against me. No, now I see it as a divine setup, because what I discovered, the treasure I found in that field, I would sell everything I have with joy to get that treasure again. You didn't see it in the moment. You didn't know it in the moment. It was the furthest thing from your thought process in the moment. But we often can do that looking back. But if we just pause where we are in the now, in this moment, we will again realize that if I'm standing in a field, then there must be treasure buried in the dirt. What I'm saying is, what in your life have you been trying to run from that might be the place that God wants to use? Maybe the loss that you suffered, the delay you're frustrated by, the career that's not quite panning out the way you had hoped it would, the panic attacks that you're experiencing that you've never experienced before that come out of left field and caught you off guard. The identity shift that you're struggling through that's left you broken and confused. The treasure is in the same place you're trying to escape. Oh, I got to say that again. The treasure is in the same place you are trying to escape. If God has brought you here, then you will find gold. You will find treasure in this somewhere. Somehow, God will use this to turn it for your good. Now, you know me, I'm a faith preacher. I do not believe that God brings things or puts things on us or puts disease and sickness on us, that teaching that says, well, God's trying to teach you something. I don't believe that because the Bible says by his stripes we are healed. He's a healing God. And I think that, you know, anyone who believes that, well, God put a sickness on me to try to teach me something, if you really, really believe that, then taking a Tylenol to get rid of a headache would be then operating in direct rebellion against God. Because if God put the headache on you, or if God put, I'm using the headache as a form of any sickness, if God put it on you to teach you something, but then you take medicine to get out of the something, then you are in direct opposition against what God's trying to do. So that I don't believe that God's put things on us because he wants to teach us something. But what I am saying is sometimes things come out of left field from the enemy. Sometimes things happen in our life and it's not the devil. It is simply us operating in our own dysfunction or our own issues, right? We made bad decisions and now things are spiraling out of control in our life and we're trying to clean up the messes that we created, right? Had nothing to do with the devil. We just made a bad decision, right? And sometimes it's the devil. Sometimes the devil just attacks and comes out of left fields and puts things on us. And now we find ourselves standing in a dirt field. But what I'm saying to you is that God will make all things work together for our good. So even the very things that we made the decision and we made the mistakes and it brought us into the dirt field, God's saying, I'll even use that for your benefit. Or even the things that the devil just sideswiped us and brought in and we were just sidelined and we're like, how did this happen? How did I get here? How could this be my lot, right? God says, I will make all things work together for your good. So if you're standing in the dirt field, come on, you got to start digging, because there's treasure buried there somewhere. Listen to Philippians 3:8. It says, yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, my Lord. I count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. What Paul's saying here, he's saying, I have sold my religious resume. Like all of my efforts and all of my things that I could boast on and hang my hat on, I consider it all loss. Another translation says dung. I consider it all dung. I count it as rubbish that I may gain the treasure of knowing. This is the man that once persecuted Jesus and Jesus' followers. And then he met Jesus. And he gave it all up, in essence, to buy the very field that he was persecuting. He said, I'll give it all up. I'll sell it. I'll give it away. I had no accomplishments. I will risk it all. I'll lay it all down that I may know Jesus, that I may buy the very field. Listen, it's not about being perfect. It's about pursuing Christ in the middle of chaos. It's about saying, if I'm standing in the middle of a field that I don't understand, I don't know how I got here. I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't see God here. Then the treasure must be buried here. So instead of trying to figure out what's the fastest way I can get out of here, maybe I need to change my perspective and say, if I'm standing in the field, then the treasure must be hidden in the dirt. It's not obvious, so I better start digging, right? There are three blessings that I believe are found spiraling. And again, you're just hopping into the live today. I'm basing this teaching off of Levi Lusco's book, Blessed Are the Spiraling, a powerful book that I just read, and I wanted to get it to you. You can order your copy of the book through us by texting the word blessed to 717-500-3575, and we will get the book out to you. But there are three blessings found in spiraling season. Number one is right-sizing yourself and God. Here's something that happens in a spiraling season. It puts you in the right perspective, and it puts God back in the right perspective. Listen, trials force us to remember this key element to our faith. He is God, and we are not. He is God, and we are not. Sometimes in life, we get a little too big for our britches, where suddenly we start thinking, you know, we get to some level of comfort. I've always said that comfort is the biggest enemy to the believer today, is we get into a season where we get a little bit comfortable and we get a little bit feeling like, I got this, I can do this. I've accomplished some things in my life, and you know, I'm in control here. And it forces us to remember that He's God and we are not God. Spiraling seasons will destroy the illusion of control. Job, when he was going through his spiraling season, he said, "Where were you?" God said to him, "When I laid the foundations of the earth." God's reminding Job, like, listen, you weren't even here when I laid the foundations of the earth. So don't forget, Job, though that you're spiraling, though you're questioning, though you feel like you're out of control, though you feel like, you know, there's something that you can do to help this situation, don't forget, Job, that I'm God and you are not. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? In hard times, we remember He's big and we are not. And we receive grace because humility attracts heaven. One of the blessings found in the spiraling season is the reminder that He's God and we are not. And we need Him more than we ever thought. One of the greatest blessings you get in a spiraling season is the revelation that I need Him now more than I ever did and I ever thought possible. And so I can come out of a spiraling season and saying, it didn't all make sense to me. It was a hard season. It was a hard place. But what I learned, how to trust in Jesus. There's that old song that says, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. So I thank God for the mountain, and I thank Him for the valley. And I thank Him for every trial He's brought me through. Why? Because through it all, I've learned to trust God. I got to play that song by Andre Crouch at some point. I love it. One of the blessings we get in our spiraling season, through it all, I've learned to trust. The second thing we get in our spiraling seasons is reorientation. Spiraling seasons make us stop, makes us ask questions and consult the map. Like Sarah and I were talking on our trip, you know, I barely pay attention to what road I'm on or the highway as we were going up to Ohio or any of that. And I remember years ago when I first went up to World Harvest Church in Columbus, and my dad was still alive at the time. And I remember saying to my dad, who had been a truck driver, that, yeah, I was 16, and I said, I'm going to take this trip up to Columbus. And he was like, oh, yeah, you're going to go past the Pennsylvania Wheeling Split. And I was like, I guess. Like, it didn't make any sense, you know, to me, but he was a truck driver. He was well-versed with the road. And so as we, I remember my first trip up there, there's a part where you're going on the highway and it splits. You go to head towards Wheeling, West Virginia, or keep going to the right to get towards, I think, Pittsburgh. And every time I see that, I remember my dad saying that to me, and I was saying that to Sarah on the trip about my dad saying that, and how just back before we had GPS, that's like, you know, especially as a truck driver, he would have been like, oh yeah, I'm going to keep on the interstate until you get to the Wheeling PA split. And back in the, you know, you'd use those road markers as directional things. Now with GPS, it's like, I just keep going until the lady on the phone starts yelling at me to go right or left. And we've kind of lost that aspect of, you know, you're going to go down until you see the second tree and then turn left, right? Like how we used to give directions back in the old day, because GPS has stopped that. But I say that to say is, you know, sometimes when you're traveling and you're lost and you don't really consult a map, you don't really think about it, right? Like I was going on a ministry trip a few months ago, and I, again, had put it on my GPS, not really thinking anything. But we started going through some pretty mountainous areas, and my phone lost connection. And for like 45 minutes, I'm just going straight, but my phone is searching for connection. And I'm thinking, if there's a turn in here somewhere, I'm done. I'm lost. I don't even know where I am at this point. Like eventually it was fine. It got connection and, you know, they said that I was on the right route or whatever. But my point is sometimes in those spiraling seasons where it feels like we've lost connection and it feels like, oh no, where am I at? What is happening? It makes us stop, ask questions, and then re-engage the map and say, where am I? Am I where I'm supposed to be? Is this where I was headed? Some of us were confidently going in the wrong direction. I met with a brother from Hope City Church yesterday who was talking about his family going on a hiking trip this past weekend. And he said he was pretty confident that all the trails went into a loop. And as he was telling the story, I stopped right there and I said, well, pretty confident, not confident. I said, I bet I know where this story's going. And he said, yeah, all the trails did not go into a loop. And after we had walked, you know, an hour and a half or 2 hours, whatever it was, and we realized we were not getting back to the beginning, they had to stop. And he's searching on his phone to try to figure out where they were, to only realize that there is no loop. And now they got to figure out and walk back the same way. And you're running out of water. And he had kids with them, and it was chaotic and all of that, you know. And because sometimes we get into those seasons where it's like, I'm pretty confident it all goes into a loop. And some of us are confidently going in the wrong direction. And when we find ourselves in a spiraling moment of life, that's our pause and realign moment. But let's not spend our life climbing a ladder, leaning in, leaning on the wrong wall. Don't spend your life climbing a ladder, leaning on the wrong wall. Sometimes a spiraling season will come in. I said this before, but sometimes, sometimes rejection is God getting you where you need to go. Sometimes the spiraling is God saying, you're climbing up the wrong wall here. You're going in the wrong direction. And if I don't send a spiraling season, you're going to keep moving forward in life in the wrong direction. So I'm sending you a spiraling season to cause you to pause and to say, wait a minute, am I in alignment? Our church, maybe a year ago, did the best thing ever known to mankind as far as church life is concerned. We got one of those robotic vacuums to vacuum the church. And that may not mean anything to you, but you got to know my life. Ever since I was 8 years old, I knew I wanted to be a pastor. I loved church. I loved church life. Every minute I could get, I was at the church. I was not the kid playing basketball in the field or during free time. I was the kid in the church house, you know, doing anything I could to be at the church. And I often, you know, I can't tell you the amount of hours I probably spent in my life vacuuming church carpet from a kid up. I remember pastoring a smaller church and spending every Saturday night there vacuuming the carpet, getting the church ready. And then I had taken a position at a larger church, and wasn't a few months I was there, I think the cleaning guy was off or something had happened. I found myself in the sanctuary vacuuming carpet. And I thought, you know, the biggest difference between a small church and a big church is there's more carpet to vacuum. And so even here at Hope City Church, you know, it takes us a long time to vacuum every classroom, the carpets in the sanctuary, around every chair. And one day I just thought, what if we got one of those robotic vacuums? So Sarah and I said, you know what? It's worth a donation. We're going to donate this vacuum, donate it to the church. And it changed everything. Everything. It saved us hours of cleaning a week, especially in the sanctuary. You got to get in between all the chairs. It just does it. Well, it's coming to the end of its life cycle. And yesterday, trying to get it to go and do its thing. And all I keep getting is reorienting. It's the word I'm trying to find. Trying to find where it is. It's repositioning. That's the word that it used. It's repositioning. It's trying to find out where it is. Why? Because it can't get to where I'm sending it to go if it doesn't first know where it is. It never got past the repositioning stage. Sorry, I haven't drinking all my coffee yet. Drank all my coffee. See, there's something wrong with the sensors, whatever. We'll get it fixed. But as I was thinking about this message, I thought about that is unless you sometimes pause and say, where am I? You'll never be able to move in the direction that you need to go to get where you need to be. Like it's, you got to find that map at the mall. You got to find that map to say, where am I? I'm here and I need to get here. Sometimes those spiraling seasons are God-given opportunities to pause, say, where am I and where am I going? The third thing that a spiraling season will do for us is it will cause us to return. Matthew, that scripture that we read says, Matthew 13:34 says, again, a man found a field. Again means he's done it before. You found treasure once, but it's time to go back to the field. As I said earlier, sometimes we can look back and see those fields that we've been in the treasure that we've taken away from those hard seasons of life and the spiraling seasons of life that were difficult. But that is just the same God that worked then is the same God that works now. So what does it teach us? It teaches us that in our spiraling, it's always a good time to return. Always a good time to surrender again. Jesus said, again, a man purchased the field. What is he saying? You don't buy the field once. You keep selling everything to stay centered on him. What is he saying? The treasure in that field is inexhaustible. You only find more by going back in the dirt. Anytime you find yourself in a dirt season, in a barren field, God's saying there's more treasure than that. You know, seasons of life, I was telling you about the couple in our church who moved into an assisted living facility and kind of the struggle there. But I was thinking about that and I thought, you know, every season of life has those hard transitions. You know, when you're 22 and you're overwhelmed by adulting, like the reality, like I tell my son now, you know, he can't wait to drive and get a car. And he just thinks, you know, as we all did, that it's just going to happen and be easy. And suddenly you're just going to be 16 and have a car given to you. And gas is just always going to be in the tank. And car insurance, what's that and who needs it? And so every once in a while, I try to explain to him, I know you're excited, buddy. I remember I live for the day I turned 16, got my license. I wanted that independence more than anything. But as we all got, right, we get into that season where suddenly, oh, I need gas. And mom and dad aren't an endless source of dollars, right? And you realize, oh, no, I got to pay car insurance. So now to pay for the car insurance and to pay for the gas, I got to get a job, which is now limiting my freedom that I thought I was getting by just getting this car. Right? Like, we all were there. That can be a very overwhelming season of life. Or you are into your 40s now and you realize that you're no longer the young gun. I said to Sarah getting out of bed this morning, it was just one of those mornings where it's like, my back hurts, my legs hurt, you know? And I said, did you ever just feel like, all right, this is just too much to move around? I said, we're like a few days away. I'm going to need one of those things to help you like put your socks on that they get. But, you know, that can be a challenging season of life within itself where you're not the young gun anymore. You're realizing that, you know, you're midway through life, most likely, and realizing, you know, that day of how am I using my time, and that can be challenging. Or you're into your 70s and you're wondering if, you know, your best days are behind you, and, you know, what do you do with the time that you have? And what I'm saying is God has buried treasure in those seasons. They're all different seasons, but in every season, God has buried treasure. And instead of just saying, wow, you know, I'm not 20 anymore, you know, or, you know, all my best days are behind me, quit saying stuff like that. Just start saying, you know, if I'm in this season of life, thank God that I'm in this season of life, but where's the treasure? Maybe I can't run like I used to run. Maybe I can't, you know, put my shoes on as quick as I used to put my shoes on. But what treasure is in this season? What wisdom have I gained? What is the beautiful thing that I can glean from this season? And maybe for some, it's that, you know, you've learned and you've grown, and this season you can impart. Like, how do we live forever? Well, we live forever in heaven. We know that. But I'm saying on earth is the legacy that we leave. And sometimes the treasure that's in this season is I'm going to now spend these days of my life imparting what I know and what I've learned into a next generation. Listen, your identity is not in what you used to do, how you were seen, or what accolades you earned. Your identity is found in the field where Christ waits to show you again that you are still his. In your 20s, you're his. In your 40s, you're his. In your 70s, you're his. In your 90s, you are still his. And as long as you're on this planet, he has a plan and a purpose for your life. So where have you wandered? Where have you been spiraling? Where have you grown discouraged because you've been in the... What have you been refusing to sell? Because remember, this man sold it all with joy to purchase the field. Now's the moment to raise your hand and say, Lord, I want to return to the field. I want to find the treasure that's hidden in the dirt. There are some things in this life that we won't get by simply walking through the valley. There's some things in this life that we will only get when we are willing to start digging in the valley. Let me pray for you. Jesus, we come to you now, Father, and maybe some of us have been in a spiraling season. Feel like we've been in a plot of dirt. But today we lean into the dirt. We surrender to you again, and we sell what we thought mattered. And we sell it as an act of trust. Say that we trust you. And we believe that if we are standing in the dirt, it's only because this dirt is called to produce treasure in our life. So we ask you, Father, to let this dust reveal joy. Let this dirt reveal treasure. Would you reveal to us that no season is wasted? No trial doesn't have a silver lining. Just as the Israelites came out of Egyptian bondage with the wealth of the Egyptians laid in upon our back, when you bring us out, you bring us out with the wealth of the last season piled on our back. So wherever we find ourselves standing today, Father, we surrender again to you. We say, help us find the treasure buried in this name. Again, I want to remind you, if you enjoyed this teaching. I'm basing these teachings out of Levi Lusco's brand new book, Blessed Are the Spiraling. We want to put that book into your hands. You can get it by texting word blessed 717-500-3575. And your $25 donation, we put that book into your hand. As I said, you can find it cheaper on Amazon, but the difference of what you find it there is what goes to help support Pioneer Television Network. So if you're able to do so and want the book, get it through us. If you're on a budget, I get it. Find it cheaper on Amazon. But we'd love to bless you with it for your donation. Again, text the word blessed to 717-500-3575. And it has been so good to be back with you today. I hate when we have days where we can't do lives together, but I'll be back all the rest of this week and continuing moving forward. I don't have any vacation days off that I know of right now. So anyway, I'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. as we continue this teaching through the book, Blessed Are the Spiraling. Be blessed and have an amazing day with God. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye for now.